Welcome to Stonegate Farm and Nursery.
Thank you.
So glad to have you guys all here.
Down with Claire!
Fire Claire, right. Well, we've been sitting around trying to come up with things, ways to play jokes on you guys, announcements that we were going to make, you know, oh, I got a dog, or I'm transitioning to a woman. Or... We decided not to play that, so I'll just tell you, I'm running for the U.S. Senate as a Republican here. Decision, because you all know where I come from. You know where my roots are. More than just here on the farm, my roots are in liberty.
Stick to it.
In 2007, I joined a revolution and I never looked back. I still believe Ron Paul would have been the best damn president we had since Reagan, and before that, Calvin Coolidge. Woo! Yeah! And his son, Rand Paul, I supported him, of course. Last year he didn't go through, which is why I ran, because I wanted somebody who would champion a pro-life, pro-liberty, pro-constitution viewpoint. And that's what I'm going to do in this race. But, you know, I spent the last 2 months, at least 6 hours a day, Jeffrey Carson, my campaign manager, and I, making phone calls. Raise your hand if you got a phone call in this audience. Listen, I know you got a phone call. I know you don't donate to politicians, though. That's okay. That's a real libertarian there. Don't encourage him. But, you know, I called over 4,000 people, and I asked them all the same question. Should I run? 100% said yes. The second question was a little trickier. I said, which political party do you think I should make this run under? 98% or more said run as a Republican.
Yeah.
Yeah, more change.
And here's the thing. When I spoke to those people, many of them were registered libertarians. Many of them were registered Republicans, and some of them were progressive Democrats, which is kind of weird, but hey. But it was funny because when I spoke to each different group, they all said that they would support me for different reasons. And I believed them because they all donated, and we've raised about $75,000 in 2 months. Here's the thing. No matter what party, what letter comes after my name, nothing changes in here. I have always been a libertarian, and I will always believe in the principles of liberty. That's right. That's right. So let's talk about those principles. Let's talk about health care, because, you know, Republicans control the government. And have we gotten a repeal of Obamacare? No.
No.
Do you know that the Republicans voted 50 times to repeal Obamacare when Obama was president?
When they had no chance.
When they had no chance of doing it.
Yeah, here we are.
In 2013, I quit a very cushy think tank job in Washington, D.C. I was sitting pretty, very happy. I was like, you know what? I need to stop preaching about capitalism and I need to engage in it. So I started my own business, and I said, I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to take a pay cut, and I'm going to work hard for a living, and I'm going to try and create some jobs. And sure enough, Obamacare passes, and my health insurance bill gets, my health insurance gets canceled. I was paying less than $100 a month for a good plan. Come to find out, now my premiums quadrupled. I'm a victim of this legislation. So, yes, while I may be somebody who believes in philosophy, I'm running for office in self-defense, quite frankly. And I'm fighting for your liberties as well.
Yep.
Now, you guys know I love Rand Paul, so I'm gonna talk about him all the time. When I get into office, I'm gonna be his homeboy. But Rand Paul is an eye doctor, and you know, I think that he really puts this the best. How do we explain to people why we don't want the government involved in healthcare? It's not because we're not compassionate. It's not because we don't care. We do care. We think we can get better medical care the less government is involved.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Yes. Yes. The less government involved, the better.
That's true.
Yes. And here's the thing.
Time, more government
we're subsidizing rich insurance companies. We're taking from poor people and we're giving it to the rich. That's the redistribution of wealth. It's not from the top to the bottom. There's no trickle down. All the money is going from the poor and the middle class, and it's going up. That's what Obamacare is. It's a giveaway to the rich insurance companies, to the pharmaceutical companies. Because what's happened is that when the government steps in and says, you're forced to take care of that person, they put the gun to the head of the insurance companies. The insurance companies, who have all the power and all the money and all the lobbyists, go to the government. They say, okay, well, you're going to force us to take care of these people. Then you've got to put the gun to the American people's head and say, you're going to pay for it.
Right. Nope.
So that mandate is wrong, and it's unconstitutional.
Yeah. Yeah.
Buying a product. It's like walking into a grocery store, not buying a pack of gum, and them saying that'll be $1.75. It doesn't make any sense. But Rand Paul puts this out perfectly because he's an eye doctor. When I was a kid, 14 years old, 10, 15, 20 years ago, eye surgery cost about $15,000. If any of you got a phone right now, get on Google, take a look. How much does LASIK eye surgery cost?
$500.
$500 an eye. I saw it the other day, Jeff and I were looking. $250 an eye.
Yep.
It's time to overturn Obamacare, repeal it, don't replace it, get rid of it once and for all.
Yeah! Yeah! Woo! Yeah!
Now here's the thing, I'm a job creator, I gotta make payroll every 2 weeks. I got employees, I know what it means to create jobs. Most of these politicians in D.C. have been there their whole lives, they have never created a job in their life.
Takers.
They have no idea. Bernie's never made payroll.
He doesn't pay 15 an hour.
Right? Government doesn't create jobs, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry, it's true. And here's why. And let me just illustrate it to you like this. If you had a pool of water, right, and you have a bucket, and you walk over to one side of the pool, and you dip it in, and then you walk into the other side of the pool, and you pour it back in, have you increased the total volume of the pool?
No.
That's what government's doing when they tax us in order to create jobs, and it's got to stop. Well, we've got to reduce business regulations. We've got to stop making it so hard for people to achieve the American dream. I mean, owning your own business is the American dream. And here's the thing. The secret is that the big corporations, they don't like capitalism. Do you know why? Because then we get out of the system. Because when we are entrepreneurs and we are individually motivated and we are individually empowered, that is true freedom, and that's what I want for America.
Thank you, Jay!
Yeah, I was going to talk about occupational licensing. You have to have a license to braid hair?
Yeah. 400 hours.
All right, now you guys are going to really be booing here. Okay, next topic. All right, here's a question for you guys. Think about this one, all right? If cigarette taxes are meant to discourage smoking, what are income taxes supposed to discourage? Now, listen, in a perfect world, I want to get rid of the income tax. I mean, make America great again is great, but why don't we make taxation theft again? Replace this tax with that tax. I don't want to implement this new tax scheme. I never saw a tax that I liked. And so here's what we're going to do. I'll introduce a bill to abolish the IRS on day one. I don't think I'll get any co-sponsors, but I'll sure do it.
I like it.
And here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to engage in any kind of fancy tax and shenanigans. I'm going to take the system that we have right now. We're just going to start lowering those rates, lower and lower and lower. Right now, most economists, and Rand Paul actually proposed this during his presidential run, say about 15% flat tax rate across the board. Geez, the churches take 10%. I think the government taking 15 is still a little much, but that's about what we ought to be paying if we're paying anything at all, which I don't really care about. We got to level the playing field. When they went and they started talking about repealing portions of Obamacare because they're trying to piecemeal it out, the first thing that they did? They went and they gave a tax break to millionaires. Right? They started carving out the special exemptions for the millionaires. Well, what about us? What about the poor and the middle class? Why is it that whenever they're going to talk about tax breaks, and believe me, I got no problem, make $1 trillion, no problem at all. I got no problem for that. But why is it that they're always looking after the big money interest first? Why don't we get some tax cuts for the poor and middle class? That's what I want.
Yeah. Woo!
$9 billion a year to comply with the tax code. $450 billion just to comply with the tax code, ladies and gentlemen. That is a lot of lost productivity. A simple flat tax would solve these problems. Now, the next issue is kind of the, we get a little topsy-turvy, but this is an issue that I think Republicans can get behind. And as a matter of fact, I think this is what's going to win the election. We need to start talking about criminal justice reform, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Weeks ago, my friend Bridget Mons, she died. And she died because she was taking illegal drugs, which I had always advised her against. And there's a personal responsibility factor there. You know, you should not be engaging in that kind of dangerous behavior. And we as individual citizens ought to encourage ourselves, each other, to say that drugs are dangerous. But they're more dangerous because they're illegal. It's true. The black market, when they're created on the black market, we don't know what's in these things, okay? Drugs are dangerous, but the war on drugs kills more people. The war on drugs is the war on drugs. It's a medical problem. It's not a criminal problem. We don't solve people's problems because they're smoking a joint in their mom's basement, and we go and we throw them in jail, and then we say they're not going to get... You know, they're never going to get a job for the rest of their life. If Barack Obama had been caught back when he was in the Chum Gang, he never would have been president of the United States. But the Democrats are hypocrites on this issue. They're total hypocrites. Claire McCaskill is not in step with Missouri voters. Kansas City just voted to decriminalize, and I'm behind it 100%. Ourselves the land of the free, and yet we are 5% of the world's population and 25% of the criminal population. That is inconceivable to me that we have such a high prison population, and that is a direct result of this unconstitutional and illegal war on drugs. Conservatism here who are going, whoa, slow your roll, AP. This is a constitutional issue. This is an issue of, first of all, the 9th and 10th Amendments, right? Yeah. If you've read the 9th and 10th Amendments, well, this should definitely not be a federal issue. I have my own positions on things, okay? If the state of Missouri wants to set their own drug laws, that ought to be how it is. Now, there are some problems with federalism, and we got to admit that, you know, because Texas might hit you on the head with a brick behind the jail if you look at a joint, and California might make it mandatory to wake and bake in the morning while you salute a Statue of Lenin. But we'll save $50 billion a year. And here's the thing. If you believe that blue lives matter, and I do, I think all lives matter, including black lives, but if you really want to make sure that our police officers are not put in danger, you got to stop enforcing this war. It's got to stop.
Yes.
Yep.
Now, some of you seen over here, my father, who's a Green Beret, you know, he was always my hero growing up. Woo!
All right.
Thank you to all the veterans in the audience as well. Now, give him a round of applause. Strong military, but when I was a little boy, my father would take me to Washington, D.C., and we would go visit the wall. How many of your friends' names are on the wall, Dad? Too many. And so I remember standing many times with my father at that memorial, with him walking away crying. That's about the only time I see my father cry. It is time to bring the troops home. Yeah! military. We need to defend ourselves, but we need to obey the Constitution when we fight.
Come on! Yes, sir.
We spend a lot of money on national defense, more than the next 8 countries combined. Now, we shouldn't be cutting away from defense, we should be cutting away from militarism. There is a difference between militarism and nation building and national defense. So the first thing that I want to do when I get there, after I try and abolish the IRS, is it's time to audit the Pentagon. Let's find out how much we're spending. Yeah! In lots of ways, I love what candidate Trump ran on. America first. No more nation building. $2 trillion, blood and treasure spent in these no-win wars, just like Vietnam. It is time to come home.
Yes. Yes. Bring it
home. Here's what I'll tell you. If I would not send my own family members to fight, if I would not send my own blood, then I will not send yours. I promise you that. Woo! If I'm elected, I will strive to put Washington in its rightful place as the protector of our liberties, not our nanny state political policeman.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's time to put the people in the rightful place as the guardians of our own lives and our own destiny. I hope you'll join me on this campaign. I'm going to strive. I don't want to be a politician, folks. I want to be a statesman.
Yeah.
One last promise. When I'm elected, I'll make you proud to be my family, my friends, and my fellow Americans.